I was hoping to sort of get on a subject and stay there, but what's happened is there's just so much. There's just so much to talk about. So little time, hey? So, what I thought we should do is just have a look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's going to be refreshing, and I'm sure it's just you're going over stuff you know. But each time we hear the word, it brings a fresh presence, because the word is spirit and life. And I have just such a sense that God is wanting to literally soak you and to cover you, so you literally walking in His presence, fully experiencing His closeness and His glory. So if we go to John, the book of John, and we'll look at John 16. Why we want to talk about the Spirit is because in Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul speaks about how we have received every spiritual blessing there is. It's ours. It's given. So that means that you can read through the words of the Bible, and any spiritual blessing, any blessing you see, you can claim it as your own, because that's given us in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. But it says it's in the heavenly realm, and it says it's given by the Spirit. And then in Ephesians 2 verse 18, it speaks about how we have access to the Father by the Spirit. And I'll read that one to you. Just so we understand the dynamic of the Spirit. It says here, for it is through Him, so through Christ Jesus, we both have access, or have an introduction, as it says in the Amplified Bible, by one Spirit, and then it says holy in brackets in this Bible, to the Father, so that we are able to approach Him. Isn't that lovely? And it speaks about how in Hebrews 10 verse 19 through 22, it says we must come boldly to the throne of grace by the new and living way. But we come by the Spirit. So let's just kind of look at some of what the Spirit does. And it was amazing. I was in Cheltenham about a week ago. And not on Sunday, but I was doing a prayer meeting in the midweek, and just started talking about the Holy Spirit, and we just got overwhelmed, just at His goodness, at His faithfulness, at His love for us. He loves us so passionately. So, right, where was I? John 16. Okay, so if we look in verse 7. He says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, it's good, advantageous for you that I go away. Now, this is at a time when Jesus has been doing amazing miracles. The dead have been raised. They've seen Lazarus raised. They've seen storms calmed. They've seen multitudes healed. They've heard the words of God. Jesus said, the word I speak is a spirit and truth. It's living and active. So they've had all these experiences, and they're saying, well, they're thinking, no, why are you going? Because he's talking in this, if you read through the context of John 16, he's talking about going away. So he says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is good. John 16 verse 7, I'm back on. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's when I say it is good, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Helper, and then these are the names, if you look in the Greek, the literal meanings of the name, in a lot of translations it just says the Comforter. Okay, and these are the names unpacked. The Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Just look at those amazing words. Comforter. And, you know, it speaks about, and I think it's 2 Corinthians. I haven't looked at that for a while. But it speaks about how the Lord is the God of comfort. And how we can comfort others with the comfort that we've received. Okay, so here it is. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort, consolation, and encouragement. So, oh, Holy Spirit, we need that. We need that. We live in a world where there is trouble. That's the truth, let's face it. We live in a world where things go wrong. We live in a world where our expectations aren't met. We get let down, and we need the Comforter. And let's look at verse 4. Who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction. And look at this. So we may also be able to comfort and console and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress. In fact, I haven't read this passage from the Amplified. It's quite teary. It makes me quite teary. I've just seen the need for this, you know, in people's lives. It says, and so we can comfort others with the comfort, consolation, and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, and encouraged by God. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus just, you know, the thing about Scripture that I see is sometimes these things are said, and you kind of read, okay, next word, now, and you move on to the next word, and just in a little while you look at one word like that, and you think, what does that actually mean? To comfort, to console, to encourage. That's what we can do when we have the Spirit of comfort, both with us and in us. God is with us and in us. So he says, he's called the Comforter. If I do not go away, the Comforter. And then the next thing is Counselor. Counselor. You know, we're told to read the Word of God. It says in Romans 12, in verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if you think about it, what does being conformed to something mean? I see it as being squeezed into the shape of something, squeezed into the pattern of something. So we are not to be squeezed into the shape of this world or squeezed into the pattern of life of this world, but we to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the very next words after that are just so amazing, because it says, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and pleasing will of God. You hear so many people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. You know, oh, what does God want me to do? Why am I here? What am I meant to be doing? Well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will be able to prove. That is, you will be able to demonstrate in your life what is the good and perfect and pleasing will of God. Now, to do that, we need the Counselor. So, getting back to the Comforter, the Counselor. The Counselor is the one, the Holy Spirit functions in terms of wisdom. He brings the wisdom. You know, it says we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. And the Counselor comes and says, okay, remember you read this and that? Well, this is how you apply this there, and this is what you should be doing. And there's just that amazing, and it's supernatural the way God works in us. We have three sources of information, basically. We have information from our own minds in terms of what we've seen and heard and been told out there, you know, through the media or through experience or whatever, or our education or, you know, our upbringing. We have information from God, which is good stuff. There's nothing wrong with your own information. And then there's also information that comes, you know, accusation and condemnation and lies and deceit from the devil. And you know what the amazing thing is? All three of those, if you could call them voices in your head, sound like you. Isn't that amazing? That's why you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in other words, when the voice says to you, ah, I'm just such a failure. I've really mess things up. Now that sounds like you talking to yourself, doesn't it? Because it's got your voice in it. But then when you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, you shoot through to, and Romans 8 comes to mind because the Counselor is inside you, and he says to you, But remember Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And remember that as you work with me, all things work to the good of those who love me and are called according to purpose. Now there's another voice. Now we have to train ourselves to hear the voice of our counselor. So it's critical that we understand who we are, because the attack that comes against us the most is identity. Remember what the devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God. Didn't he say that? Attacked his identity. And the attack is on our identity. And we need the counselor to tell us who we really are. You're my son. I'm proud of you. Do you know you've got the same life in you as Jesus Christ has? You're the same as him. He's the firstborn of many brethren. You're exactly the same. Do you know what? The power of God's in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amazing, isn't it? And did you know the amazing thing that I found? We're told to be filled in Ephesians 5 verse 18. Paul says, be in filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, the Word is Spirit and life. So when you feed on the Word, when you look into the life of God, when you pursue understanding and knowledge of God, guess what? You're getting filled with the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? When the Word that you're eating is Spirit eaten. Peter puts it this way, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he says, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we must press in. We want to work with our, come on, the second name. We want to work with our counselor. We want to work with him. We want to have chewed on so much and eaten so much of the Word of God, and that's just absorbing it, thinking about it, mulling over it. If you don't understand something, I often say, well, why did you say that? Why were you so harsh in that passage? Or what does this mean? And it's amazing. You just keep meditating on things like that. And then the counselor, he might lead you to a passage of Scripture. Someone might say something. Leave it to him to get you the answer, that you'll get the answer. So the counselor, the Holy Spirit's counselor. Now look at the next one. And this one, which is, the next two, helper, advocate, intercessor. I know we spoke about those last time I was here. But literally, helper means that he takes hold of together with you. That is a phenomenal thing, that where Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone, but I will be with you always until the end of the ages. Here we have the Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus says, is exactly like him, and the helper literally will help us in each situation. And sometimes, if you're watching your children, and in our case it's grandchildren now, but it was when we had children, you're watching them, say, doing a puzzle, one of those kiddies' puzzles. You want to help them, and you watch them, and they're doing the puzzle a little bit. Then if they get stuck, you say, hey, why don't you try and look at the corner? And then, or just take that piece, pick up that one and put it there. And that's how it works often. I find with the Holy Spirit, he gives us a piece, and then he watches us, and then he gives us another piece. And what is interesting, a lot of people think that God is going to do the job for them. But it didn't say he's the doer of the job and you his helper. You see, that's what we talk about. The church has got things mixed up. It talks about him being the helper. Now, I was listening to some other guy. He gave such a good illustration. I'll use it as well. But he said, let's say I'm going to paint a roof. And he said, I come with my helper. And we sit down to plan what materials we need and what tools we need. And he said, I'll make a list. And then he said, the helper will say, hey, but have you remembered the sandpaper? And then the helper might say, wow, we need that small ladder. And he will get involved in the project. He won't do the project because the main guy who's the painter will do the project. He'll get up there. But when he puts his hand down there, the helper will see already, no, he doesn't need that brush, he needs another brush, so he'll give him another brush, another tool, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as he moves on in the job, the helper's thought of everything, the helper maybe get him refreshment, there'll be a time of refreshing, etc. So you think of it like that. And the Holy Spirit gets involved in what we do. And again, we've got it in some ways mixed up, because God says, in Mark 16, he says, these signs will follow those who believe. And speaks about how they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And then, just think of your helper. You walk along the road, you say, oh, this one needs healing, and you put hands on them, or they need a word of encouragement, or they need comfort. So what will happen is, you will get involved, you will start doing what you need to do in the case, and the helper will be there to just bring an excellent finish. He will do it with you. So helper is, in other words, it's a word that suggests we must be more proactive in what we do. Do you know, it's interesting, I was reading a scripture the other day, it's in 1 Peter 2:5, where we talk about helper. Because so many people are expecting God, the Holy Spirit, to just lead them here to do this, and to lead them here to do that, and they not to have any initiative. But we are actually called to do stuff. And if you look here, it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, come, like living stones, be built yourself into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's just two comments to make on that. We're not just blobs on chairs. Bumps on blobs, or whatever they used to say. We're not blobs. We have a priestly function. We have this most sacred function in God that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices. But who is the one who knows what is acceptable and pleasing to God? It's God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And He's our helper. He's going to help us offer up these sacrifices. I mean, I just find it phenomenal that Almighty God would say, I'm going to be a helper to you. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. I just think, God, I feel a bit humbled by that, but why did you do that? Why didn't you ask me to serve you? Because He doesn't call us servants anymore. We're priests and kings. We're brethren to Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal. So yeah, so just think of the helper in that aspect. You're going to go out and say, Lord, I want to do this. I want to go and help so-and-so. How can I? And the helper, the Holy Spirit, will help you. He will help you do it. And remember, the huge thing that we just love is prayer. He helps you in prayer. We do not know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself helps us in our weakness. Takes hold of together with us in the prayer project. And Romans 8:28 applies every time then. It says, we know that all things work to the good of those who are called according to His purpose. And it says, God being a partner in their work. So your helper is a partner in what you do. And that immediately stamps eternal significance on what you do. Whatever you do. Even if it's offering tea. Say, to Debbie was offering tea this morning. Whatever you do to the least of His little ones, you're doing to Him. You do that in the Spirit. And guess what? That's spiritual. You know, I just love it in Acts 9 where he was Saul then. He was breathing fire and thunder against the church. And the bright light knocks him to the ground. And then Jesus says to him, why are you persecuting me? See, that's just another example of how what you do to the saints, you're doing to Him. So minister to the saints. And let me tell you, the highest, this thing of helper, for me, again, I'm totally biased in this, the highest ministry that there is in the church is intercession. And it's intercession with the Spirit, in the Spirit. You can't beat it. I drive an hour to go to a meeting up there in Charlton from our house. I've been doing that for weeks now because I enjoy and I realize that that is such a high calling to be an intercessor, because that's what Jesus, he's been promoted now, he's in heaven. Guess what he does? We get involved in what he does. So yeah, so he helps us in all those things. So let's see, what's the next thing he's got here? He's an advocate. Now, this is amazing. Why would the Spirit of God need to be advocate? You see, God is called the great judge. And what happened, certainly when sin came into the world, justice, God's holiness and righteousness demanded that there be death. The wages of sin is death. You've read that. I can't tell you exactly where that is, but I've read it many times. It's in Romans, is it? Yeah. So, the wages of sin is death. So now, if you think of a judge who sits in a court, let's just say a judge in a high court in Britain, he has to investigate a case, and then when he investigates a case, he has to make a conclusion. Once he's made a conclusion, he has to apply the law. Let's say a defendant's found guilty of a certain thing, he has to apply the law to the verdict, and so that he can sentence. Now, that's exactly what God did. And we must understand, we were all sentenced to death. We weren't just washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We were literally crucified in Christ. We were raised to new life. So we died, we were raised to new life. That's what our baptism is a picture of. It's a prophetic statement of death and resurrection to new life. So the great judge can declare us righteous because the person that was involved in all the sin was nailed to the cross in Christ Jesus and raised to new life. But now when we are in intercession, let's say someone's not born again. People say to me, do we have to stand in the gap? So I say, well, no, we're in the Godhead. We're part of the we're part of the executive authority and the workings of the Godhead. So what we do is we plead on behalf of people and places, and the advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, will present the case. And basically, he pleads his case before the very throne of God. And we are in God, we are in the Spirit, the Spirit's in us, he's doing the utterance. We are literally before the throne of God when the case has been presented. And the amazing thing is, in heaven, there's a exact, the original true tabernacle of God is in heaven. And you can read about that in Hebrews 9. We haven't got time to go there now. I'd love to spend some time on that. But Moses' tabernacle was a copy. But in the Holy of Holies of Moses' tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant, and it had the cherubim, and then on top was the mercy seat, and that's where the priest used to pour the blood once a year. Now, in heaven, Jesus' blood is on the mercy seat, right in the Holy of Holies. And the blood of Jesus is alive. I'll show you. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 23. You see, this is just so you can help understand why we want to work with the advocate, why praying in the Spirit is so important. So we're going to Hebrews 12. Okay, it's actually verse 24, but this is just, it's speaking about what's happened to us. Okay, it says, you have come to Mount Zion, this is verse 22. Even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels in festal gathering, and to the church, the assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven. That's us. And to God, who is the judge of all. You see, this is the thing of the legal aspect. Okay? And he judges the wages of sin and death. So this is what's so amazing about the blood of Jesus. So it says here, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect. And to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of a new covenant. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. Remember, it said in Leviticus, it said the life is in the blood. And there is the blood of Jesus Christ is alive. It's on the mercy seat in heaven. And it's that blood which has purchased mankind. That is the blood of redemption. And it's speaking. So when we are interceding in the Spirit, we are literally right in the presence of God. And the advocate, there's those times we can be violent in prayer with the shout of the Lord that goes out that is, you know, releasing atomic bombs into the heavens. But there's other times where we're petitioning and interceding for places, and we're presenting these petitions to God, that the advocate will present it in such a way that every single time Christ will say, mercy. Mercy is extended. Mercy is extended to Biddeford. Mercy is extended to Barnstable. Mercy is extended. That's the advocate, the legal part of how the Holy Spirit works with us. He is able to justify on the basis of the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus. So let's see what else he does. He's intercessor. We've spoken about that at length, where he literally prays. He's intercessor, we intercessor, Jesus is intercessor. So let's get it in our heads right away, which I think you have. It's the same thing. It's the same ministry. People have always been spoken that I've heard, oh, well, Jesus lives to intercede. So they think maybe we don't need to. But, you know, you've just got to read Scripture again, because we spoke about being transformed, that you can, by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good and perfect and pleasing will of God. Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit with all kind of prayer for the saints. And he says the same thing in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 8, where he speaks about pray that intercessions are made for all people. And he says that, because he says, for God doesn't want any to perish. It's interesting that he connects the prayer, because the prayer shapes the atmosphere. The atmosphere determines what happens to the seed that we sow. So when we pray in the Spirit, we are creating atmosphere. There was a song we sung about atmosphere now, wasn't there? I think one of the songs, didn't it speak about atmosphere? I don't know. The first one. I can't remember the words. I can just remember noting, now that's relevant, that we have the power to change atmosphere. Oh, is that the one? Oh, right. Okay. No, maybe it didn't speak about atmosphere. But if we create atmosphere, seed, we know, when sown in soil, okay, good soil, but when seed is sown and when the atmosphere is right, when there's just the right moisture, when there's the right heat and sunshine and light and all the rest, the seed just sprouts, and that's why it waits till summer here. So we can create a favorable atmosphere for the seed to grow. And we can create a favorable atmosphere. That's what, in fact, let me just turn there to 1 Timothy 2. Okay, this is what... And we're picking up on intercessor. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is intercessor. It says, first of all, I admonish and urge. It's 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. And urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right. It's pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved. He's connecting, those verses are connected. There's a flow. It's not like he suddenly now jumped to a random different idea. Oh, God wishes all to be saved. He's connecting the prayer, you see that, to the salvation of people. Because those prayers... And he's not saying it in so many words. I'm interpreting what he's saying. He's saying peacefulness. In other words, that's a good atmosphere, an atmosphere of peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's a good atmosphere to live in. So he's saying create a good atmosphere, because if we pray for kings and people in high authority, we can restrain them from evil, and we can release them into doing what is good. Whatsoever things you bind on the earth must be already what is bound in the heaven, and we know what's bound in the heaven because we've been transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we know what God wants and what He doesn't want. We know what authority is legitimate and what authority is not legitimate. And we speak into that authority. We say, we forbid this in Jesus' name. I think that just recently an example of this, that is when David Cameron was very, very tempted to take the United Kingdom to war. And we stood up. We said, this is not going to happen. We forbid it in Jesus' name. And I know there was many, many, many people, both people who were spiritual and people who were not spiritual, saying the same thing. Well, we didn't go to war. So I'm still going, it's close. Anyway, so yes, that's why if we're praying for kings and people in authority, Heather was part of a prayer team when our girls were still at primary school. And there were huge problems in that primary school. So the prayer team took on to pray for the school. It took them 3 years. There were all kinds of weird teachers there. There was the same-sex relationships. And you don't want, I don't know, I'm not happy with them teaching my children. I don't like them amongst children. Anyway, within 3 years, they cleaned the whole school up. New head teacher. Totally transformed. There was division and bickering amongst the staff. The ones that shouldn't have been there were moved up. Was cleaned up like that. We prayed for our council. We lived in a town called Pinetown. Next thing, a Christian mayor gets elected, and Heather writes him a prophecy, and he gets really excited about a prophecy. Wouldn't you like to send prophecies to your mayor, see him get excited? So yeah, we can do atmosphere. So. The Holy Spirit as intercessor is just amazing. But that's, again, us in union. Oh, that's in 1 Timothy 2. And verse 4, it says, of the, so I'll read right through to verse 8. It's just phenomenal, in fact. Well, I'll just read it a bit more. So it says here, God wishes all men to be saved, to recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. That's because, that's why Paul's saying to Timothy, pray. We don't want error. We don't want what is good and evil. What is good presented as evil and what is evil presented as good, as we see now. The standards and, you know, hate speech to preach Jesus Christ is the only way. And yet, that is the truth. That is good. And it's presented as hate speech. And there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. And the other thing that we're getting at the moment, and even in the church itself, is this mixture of soul and spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It separates soul and spirit. Joints and marrow. It's that close, that accurate. So we need the Word of God. And that's why Paul's talking about this kind of prayer, that people will know truth. They will know God's truth. Okay? And then he goes straight on and says the very thing I've just quoted. He says, for there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men. There is one mediator, people out there. Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the truth. And it says, he gave himself as a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. And then he says, I was appointed apostle to preach this. And look at verse 8. I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. Do you know something? When we started praying in the Spirit the way that we've been praying together now, we were in a prayer group in South Africa at the time of political change, where there was huge disruption in the nation, potential for war, and we had quarreling and bickering in our midst, and people would stop coming to the prayer meetings because someone prayed a kind of prayer opposite to their point of view, and you can see division in the body of Christ. And when you move into when you pray in the Spirit, it unifies us. It unifies us. You know, I was, when we talk about unity, I'm going on a little bit of a, it's quite a nice little rabbit trail, this one. But I was talking to Peter about it. But if you look in Matthew 18, verse 19, where we're talking about getting prayers answered. So we are, I'm sort of on target, sort of on track. Matthew 18, verse 19 says, "Again I tell you," and this is Amplified Bible, and I went and looked this up in Thayer's Greek lexicon. It says, "Again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree," and then in brackets it says, "harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." So like, if we make a symphony, if we harmonize, now we see this every day, well every time we meet, if we worship, we sing the same words, we sing the same, the same frequency, the same key, and the tempo is the same. We're not singing line number one when John's already on line number three. We kind of in step with him, aren't we? Now that's harmonizing and symphasizing. Is that the word? Symphonizing. Oh, I don't know. Well, you know the word I mean. I'm getting tongue-tied here. But literally, it's we're on the same line, the same word, the same tune, and the same frequency, the same key. We harmonize. That's like a musical thing. And then I looked that up in Thayer's Greek lexicon, and it says exactly the same thing. It's speaking about the harmonizing between instruments. So now, if you think about it in prayer, if you look at the traditional model of prayer, you know, you come along and someone prays, and then you think, "Now, what can I pray? What can I pray? What can I pray?" And then they stop and they say, "Oh, amen." Sorry, yeah, I was late. Then you say, "Amen." You agree to his prayer, but you're not harmonizing. It's not like singing. Now, what happens when you harmonize, when you sing? Like we worship. Look at the lovely atmosphere. We harmonize with the spirit of worship. The spirit of worship is real. And there was manifestation of that. So, do you want to have a spirit of breakthrough in your midst? Harmonize with the spirit of breakthrough. Do you want to have new things in your life? Do you want to have things birthed into your life? Things of God. Blessings of God. Harmonize with the spirit of travail. But how do you do that? You stay in step, the same tempo, same frequency, same words. You move as one person like you do in singing. So if you use your worship as an example, that's exactly how prayer works. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew 18 verse 19. He's saying, if two of you harmonize touching anything, it's done for you. So you see what a wonderful tool we've got to work with the Holy Spirit as intercessor. So where have we got to now? Strengthener. Okay. We've got two more to go. How's that? Strengthener. This is phenomenal. That he strengthens us. Do you know in Ephesians 1, of course you know. That's just a question. In Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 19. Paul prays, says, he prays that they have the spirit, these Ephesians have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. It says that they can know that their glorious inheritance in the saints, and that they can know the mighty power of God that is in and for those who believe. That same power that God demonstrated when he raised Jesus from the dead is in us. If you believe. Okay. So how do we get strengthened? Now what we've got to understand is that power is in us. Now we haven't been taught to do this. But you can sit down anywhere you like. And you can just say, "Lord, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that your spirit's with me. Your spirit's in me. Thank you your mighty power is in me. I just release that power right now to flow through my body. I command power to flow into every muscle, every bone, to flow into every cell in my body, to flow into my mind, to quicken it. I just join myself to you, Lord, in that power." And you just start drawing it and draw it and energize yourself. And what that does is it just empowers you. That's there for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, if you join yourself to the Lord, you're one spirit with Him. And again, I was talking to Peter. There's some weird stuff that can come out of that. Because when we're talking about the mighty power of God, the Spirit's in me, okay? The Spirit's in my brethren. Now, if they join to the Spirit and they one Spirit with Him and they one with Christ, and I'm joined to the Spirit and of God and I'm one Spirit with God and I'm in Christ, and the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, He knows the thoughts of God within Him, the Spirit knows the thoughts that are within me, He also knows the thoughts in my brethren. He can show me their thoughts. And I've actually had that happen often. I know what people are thinking. I even hear their voices. And there's a total scriptural basis when you start harmonizing with God like that. That's how Jesus could know the things He knew. It's, to me, I think it's going beyond the gifts of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of revelation as against a gift of word of knowledge. You see what we're in. And you know what excites me being here with you guys is that God is building such a foundation amongst you here for what is to come. And do you know that as the mighty God of power, the mighty power of God and the God of power works within you and through you, look here. Just turn to Ephesians 3 verse 20. Because this is power for you. We said about, what did it say? What was the word I was picking on? Strengthener. Yeah, look at this. Okay, because I'm taking that from the power point of view. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says this. I'm in chapter 4. No wonder I can't find my scripture. Okay. It says this. It says, now to Him, that is God, capital, who by and in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us. Alright, we've just quoted Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 19 where it says we have this power. And we know that when we receive the Spirit, we receive power. We know that the Spirit of God and the power go together. We know the Spirit's within us. And we know that when we start praying in the Spirit, that it is the Spirit who is giving us utterance, and it is the Spirit who is influencing us, and He's working in us. Alright, so it says here, now to Him who by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose. Now look at this. He will do super abundantly far over and above all that we ask or think, beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That is scary. It's excitingly scary, I mean. That He will do, as His power is at work in us, He will do beyond what we even dare ask or imagine. He does beyond that. That's the kind of power that our strengthener will release in us. Remember Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. That's why He can say that. Because His Spirit is at work within us. And as we harmonize with His Spirit. Now how do you do the harmony? It's like worship. You can just decide to start singing. And you can start off maybe kind of slow. Or kind of from a place where it's not that easy. And your mind's drifting. But then when you pursue it. You might just get into a song. Or start singing a line that starts ministering to you. And then you move into a place where you just start worshiping. You've moved into that place of harmony with worship. That's the same thing in praying in the Spirit. You move into that place of harmonizing with the mighty one of God who's within us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And He will do beyond what you ask, dream, or even dare imagine. And isn't it amazing how many things start so tiny and small that we think they're insignificant, but God's already seen the beyond what we dare ask or dream or even imagine. And that's what I'm looking at in this room. What seems small. It was a cloud the size of a man's fist over the sea that Elijah's servant saw. And it changed the nation of Israel. So there's a good foundation here. I've been in the UK now about 12 years. And I tell you, I came here, I thought, right, we're coming to fight the Battle of Britain. And that's, you know, it's a bit arrogant, because I mean, who am I and who am I to tell anyone anything anyway? So it's taken a long time for me to start building, because you have to work through a relationship. So that's what I've been doing for all these years. But I'm so excited now, because what I'm seeing, what we experienced in Wales, what we're going to see manifest in Bedford, what we're going to see maybe, well, it will, in Cheltenham. And I'm just like amazed. I'm saying, wow, this is our time. For all of us, this is our time. This is it. What we've dreamed and longed for, we're going to see it. We're going to harmonize with the voice of many waters. That's Jesus. Sounds like many waters when you're praying the tongues. So yeah, so God will do beyond what you even think, ask, dream, or imagine. So persevere in the way you pray. And if you take some hits, hey, I'm sorry, but you know, the glories that's waiting for you is worth way more than a few setbacks. So be aware of that. There can be setbacks. We had setbacks, Ed and I, when we started off praying like this. And in fact, can I tell them what happened to you? When I was in Portugal, we were involved in warfare, and Heather got, she got, in fact, you felt like there was a demonic visitor that came to you, wasn't it? And then we were up in Wales praying, same thing happened to Heather. So we need to be aware, and in a way, we must be aware, we must cover each other. We're in war, you know, we must buddy-buddy, look after each other. So, all right, let's do the last one. What's the last one? Stand by. He's always ready. Amazing, isn't it? God is not slow. He's not slow. The promises of God are yea and amen. He's not slow. And I think that the thing that we must do is we must get to a place where we learn to partner with God. And talk to your partner, because He's the Holy Spirit. He's with you. That's why Jesus said the opening scriptures, for your good that I go. Why? Because each one of us can have that intimacy with the Lord now, which we couldn't have had if He was still contained in a body on the earth. It's something, it's so holy. It's way and beyond. The disciples could be one with Him with their minds, but not in spirit really. You know, when you think of it, the closeness that He's in us. And as I said, He's literally speaking to our mind, and He's so close to us that we sometimes think the voice of God is our own, that's me. But hey, I didn't think that. I mean, I know, somehow I just recognized that was not my thinking. I know we have the mind of Christ, and so you prick up your ears, just train yourself to listen. So the standby is always there. He's always there ready to speak. He's always there ready to act. He's always there ready to do all the other things that we've just read. He does. He's an absolute blessing to us. So Lord, Holy Spirit, we are just overwhelmed at your goodness, that you're with us, Lord. That when we release the rivers, it's actually you releasing the rivers, but it's us. It's like Paul says, I live, and yet not I, but Christ in me. But he sometimes even seems to get mixed up, and that's how we feel, Lord. And we just love it that you're part of our lives. And that we, well, in a way, put it the other way, we're part of your life. Eternal life. That you pray with us, that we can harmonize with you. That you empower. I'm asking you, Lord, right now to touch everybody here with that quickening power. It says in Romans 8, I'll just read it. It speaks about how the Spirit of God will quicken our flesh. I think it's verse 15, but I'm not quite sure if it's that one. Romans 8. No, it's verse 11. It says, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And in other translations, the word used there is quicken, will quicken you. And again, we have so many, I have so many chats with Peter. We were talking about angelic beings and being able to see into the spirit realm. When God, when the energy of God is flowing through you and quickening you, what it can do is it changes you in a way. We change so that we start seeing into the spirit realm. And you will see things that you're praying. You'll see angelic things. And when you do it with him, it's exhilarating. You literally, you know, with Paul, things happened in the scriptures to people like Philip, we know, got picked up. He was in Samaria preaching. He got picked up in the spirit and he lands in the desert where he preaches to the eunuch. And Paul says, you know, even though I'm not with you bodily, I was with you in the spirit and I saw this, that and the other and I delight in how orderly you are. And those sort of things start happening to you. So a lot of people don't understand that, but it's literally, it's a thing of frequency. There's things that we cannot see because our physical bodies are tuned, let's say, to certain frequencies. We hear certain frequencies and we see certain light frequencies. There's colors we can't see. There's sounds we can't hear that are real. So what happens is literally the Spirit of God comes on you and quickens you. And then you say, spirit of infirmity. Oh, we had a case fairly recently. We were doing a meeting up in Balsall Common where we were. And there was a woman there who said, she needs some prayer because she has pain. Pain in her neck and pain down her back. And so I was playing the guitar then. There's no one else to play it. By default. Not the best guitar player for sure. But anyway, and two of the people were praying, and it was pretty close from me to Heather away. And then as I was playing, I was watching them, I suddenly saw this thing, like I was looking, and I saw it with my eyes. And there was this like little monkey type thing sitting on her shoulder here, and it had long nails, like that long, and they were going right through her neck, and they were going right through the back of her shoulder and coming out the front of her chest up here. And I could see that. And as I looked at it, it looked at it, it saw me. And I put the guitar on, I said, "No, sir!" And she fell on the ground immediately, and she started screamed and writhed and like a snake and all the rest. And she said for the first time when she got up from the floor, in about 12 years, there was no pain. So that's what we want. We want to be effective in what we do. So Lord, quicken us. Quicken us. Open our eyes to see, Lord, to discern. And Father, we ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of power. And we thank you so much for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if we can go beyond that, that's what we want to do. We know that Paul calls that milk. He says to the Corinthians, "I can only give you milk." So that's milk. We can go beyond that. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We just love the way, Lord, that you affected Jerusalem when you came. And you're still affecting towns today when you come. And we know Jesus calls you helper. We feel in some ways like junior partners in the helper thing, because we honor and reverence you so much. But we want to do it the way that Almighty God wants it done. So Lord, teach us. Teach us. Quicken everybody here, Lord. Every cell, every bone, every mind. We have the mind of Christ. We have the body of Christ. Quicken our worship, Lord. Help us to harmonize with you. So I hope that was helpful.
Thank you so much.